This is Robert Avila. About 30 years ago, I started receiving prophetic dreams. I noticed after 2 years that the things I was writing down into journals, a big stack of them, were coming true. I had already noticed it, but I hadn't paid much attention, but something really big in my life came to pass, and I realized that I had written it down 2 years previously as a dream. I've seen hundreds of things that I've dreamed come to pass. I have thousands of dreams written down. I'm going to share with you some things here relevant to the United States Air Force. I've got 7 dreams here. Number 1, at some point there is a sudden attack on command centers. Russia will be behind this. China may be with them already. If not in the outset, then later on, and they will be allied already, if not publicly, then in secret, as they are already. This sudden attack will destroy a portion of the Air Force. This is represented as a woman in Air Force attire, missing her right arm. They have to move quickly to reestablish communication systems. So this is something to think about. If there's a sudden attack, how do you establish communications? Sometimes there are hardwire systems, radio systems, shortwave, high-frequency systems, microwave systems, all kinds of systems that can be put up immediately. So there has to be plans like this in place, and you should check your equipment. Not only myself, but others have seen that equipment has been moved, rebranded, repackaged, crates mismarked to destabilize and delay and cause logistics issues if suddenly there is a large-scale war. Dream number 2. Special ops are hunted down. So if you're in the Air Force and you know somebody who's in pararescue or special recon or some other special forces training, this is a dream I've shared in other places, but I've seen that a time comes when they establish a 10,000-man unit and their express concern is locating, hunting down, and killing American-trained special ops soldiers, Marines, Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard, if they have such a thing. Of course they do. So if you know special forces and war comes to the United States, you people need to be especially alert, maybe even relocate as quick as you can. Dream 3. When this attack comes, they will bomb airports. There will be an issue with landing aircraft and rebuilding airports. This is something that someone needs to have a plan in place. If you live near an airport and you're a contractor, ask yourself, how would I get enough concrete, enough asphalt to repair a bunch of bomb holes? Do I have plans? What does an airfield look like? Where do I get the gravel for that? How will I get compacting? How quickly can I do this? What's the fastest way I can get this done? These are kind of things that a Navy CV might think of, an Air Force repairman, contractor, builder would certainly know about these things. Something to think about. Number 4, I don't know how this is done, but when that initial attack comes and they bomb those headquarters and command centers, one of the missiles they use are hijacked U.S. military aircraft. In the dream, I see these two pilots in a large plane, a cargo carrier, and they're frantically talking with a radio control tower somewhere, and they're discussing what things to try. And the men in the cockpit are trying those things, and nothing works. And that plane slams into a headquarters center and blows it up. So that is part of the plan of the enemy. And you can see how clever that is. You get a 2-for-1. You cost somebody $100 million or $1 billion for a fighter or a heavy lift. And you also take out some infrastructure. It doesn't cost you even the price of a missile. So somehow they're going to do this. I don't know what you can do to prevent that, But in the dream, they were able to communicate with the control tower. So what if there was some system where you said, okay, so there has to be some kind of a way to remote control an aircraft. If it's not installed now, it's going to come in the future, and it's a mistake because the enemy will be able to hack it. So you need to have a counter remote control measure so that verified pilots in communication with a control tower, some kind of double check system where they can regain control of an aircraft and land it safely and not fly it into anything, losing the pilots and the aircraft and the infrastructure all in one move. So whatever you need to do to watch out for that, do it. Okay, that was the fourth one. So those were my ideas there. Number five, at some point, they're already talking about it. You can read articles, they're talking about a super brain, some kind of nanotechnology that will enhance the human ability. This is going to be a deception. I saw a dream. There was some kind of a war in Europe, obviously larger than this event with Ukraine. I've seen also that will expand at certain points. Things will get worse in Eastern Europe. There's a drought coming in the future for Eastern Europe. But as far as the Air Force is concerned, flying out of an airfield somewhere in the southern part of Britain, there are some American pilots who volunteered to fight with British pilots, and they fly into over Northwest Europe, and I don't know where they're fighting, what they're bombing, they're having dogfights, I don't know. But this part I do know. They interview an American pilot, and he's talking big about the amazing technology this nanotech is. And he says, quote, "It's the greatest invention since flight," end quote. And at another point, he says, "What one sees, we all see." So that they're flying in a wedge formation. You got 6, 10, 12 aircraft. Some guy on the far right sees the enemy approaching. The same instant he sees it, all the pilots see it, including the guy on the far left of the chevron. And he can't see those things. It's not physically possible for him. But his mind registers it as having been seen because they all see as one, because their minds are connected via a system of nanotechnology. That may seem far out to you, but when it arrives, I want you to remember this. Their intentions for bringing forth this nanotech are a lie. First, you will notice if you don't have it, you'll notice that people who do have this system begin to lose their intellect and individuality. That was a quote from another dream, that they lose intellect and individuality. It's part of this hive mind effect. These people also become, I'm just going to say, greatly reduced in sexual morality. Women who were demure and reserved become sexually aggressive. Straight men become homosexuals, not in every case, but in some cases. This happens. They were specific cases that were shown to me in the dream. This thing isn't what you think it is. People will be told it is egalitarian. You can connect, you can decide, you have your individuality, your own self-will. But it's not true. At some point, I'm going to guess that when they have enough people under their control that they believe they can overpower everyone else, they seize control of people's minds, and only then do they realize that they are in a classic computer loop system in which there is one master computer that dictates the timing to all other computers, and all the other computers are enslaved. But in this case, it will be a literal mental enslavement where their thoughts and desires and will can be overridden, even so much as to hunt down and kill other people. At a future time, those who resist the nanotech system, they will be called detractors, resistors. I'm forgetting the name suddenly. But it's a name that is so vile. It is so hate-filled. It's worse than any epithet, any racial slur that has existed in the history of mankind. These people really hate those who don't want this system. I suspect it is the mark of the beast system. That's what I believe. Many have seen that when people take this mark of the beast, They become violent and hostile, and they get conscripted, and they are told to hunt down those who don't have it. Detractors, oh, I'm forgetting, that word's going to jump into my head in a minute here somewhere. I'm going to remember it in a bit. But it's a slur. Next, plague weapons. There are going to be plague weapons. When the United States is invaded, the Army will be defending. The Air Force will have issues, as I just discussed, but they will be up. But primarily the defense of America will be the Army, and they will have a problem with plagues. Now, I saw a dream, and it looked like just a residential setting. Didn't necessarily indicate any sense of war was happening. And I don't even know that for a fact that the Air Force does this. But the Air Force pulled up. They had something looked like a Connex box, a shipping container. Maybe two of them came out. And they set them out on a road and set up a decontamination center. And these were Air Force personnel, doctors, nurses, specialists. And they set up this double container system. And in the dream, that showed that they had like a double wall of protection. Like they had two layers of protection so that if one was breached, then they could fall back to the second layer and they should be safe there. So they start decontaminating people. And at some point, they realize that the first layer has been breached. So they go back to behind the first layer of defense and they cease assisting anyone. If you're in this Air Force system, you'll know that this is true because these dreams are very accurate. So, and they stop helping people because this was apparently the procedure. They had lost some of their own people, were exposed somehow. I'm going to describe to you this disease. It moves fast and it's kind of a terror to watch. So they fall back and they're in there a couple hours and they have like some kind of a cubby hole and some guy had climbed into one to sleep. I don't know if it was designed for that or something else. Maybe it held equipment at some point, but he was in this thing. It was like a cubby hole. You could comfortably fit an adult person in there to lay down and sleep. And that's what he was doing. And they look up at him and someone says, oh, he hasn't moved in a while. And right as they all start looking at him to see if maybe he's okay, no one approaches him to touch him because whatever this disease is, it's really contagious and deadly, and no one wants to risk it. But as they're watching him, the skin slides off his face like soup. And I'm going to read you this verse from the book of Zechariah 14:12. And this shall be the plague wherewith Jehovah will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall dissolve away in their sockets, and their tongues shall consume away in their mouth. That's what I saw in the dream. It's interesting that this mentions above-the-neck components, and that's what was shown in the dream as well. It's an interesting parallel that the dream choreographer, let's say, put into the dream, that dream content, a very close match with this verse. It's something real. We've seen, if you follow the Bible, you know that so many things the Bible has predicted, including the date, the exact date of the refoundation of Israel, many things like this. And this verse is saying, if you go against Israel, this is the plague you get. So I don't know, I hope this reaches somebody who needs to hear it. But stop talking bad about any term you're using just to mean Jews, Zionists, or any slurs that people are using. Don't do it. Don't go against Israel. Someone says, we're going to force Israel to give up some land for peace. Don't support that. Be against it. If not verbally and in public, then in prayer. Be against it. God bless Jerusalem. May there be peace in Jerusalem. That's how we ought to pray. God is very serious about Jerusalem. So, one last dream here. At some point, something hostile happens in the United States. And I think it might be called a revolution, at least in hindsight, after the fact. But the movement to fight against what happens as a result, foreign governments coming in, people under the guise of providing peace and stability, foreign soldiers. They will say that they're from Europe. Many of them will be from South America, and they will really be negative toward Americans, looking forward to opportunities to beat American citizens. And there's this counter-revolution. The American people rise up, and especially effective are people who pray and fight. I call them spiritual Marines. They pray first before a battle, bind the demons that ride out with their enemy. A very wise thing to do. But at some point, the American people are pressed and condensed. I think the last battle fighting takes place in, I don't know what region this is officially called, but say the northern parts of Texas, Oklahoma, and a swath going up north from there. And a radio call goes out warning people to evacuate, to go north. There are trains, and they're told that there are going to be nukes used, and they're also going to use chemical weapons called B-3 and B-4. I've never heard of those anywhere else except for this dream. And this third one I've also never heard of anywhere else except for this dream. And something that was called freeze. And this thing freeze, it was well known, and I don't know why this was, but the Muslim armies were terrified of it. There will be armies that are entirely composed of Muslims. Many of the nations that join this war will do so because they are surprised to see that Russia and China, Japan and Mexico are being effective against the United States, that their war fighting is having success. And other nations will join, not one by one, but in groups of three or five. Certain coalitions will say, why don't we participate? Let's jump in there. And they do. And their real goal is just to loot. They want to steal the gold and the silver and the bodies, the people, the living people, for wicked reasons. But the Air Force will be around until the end. So fight on. Fight on. There will be tough times, but in the end, there is a victory. In the end, there is a victory. But this is what I've seen, that even after that victory comes, the enemy, fearing the reemergence of the United States and its military might and all the blessings that God had heaped upon her, in a single hour, really, in the dream I saw, it looked like 2 minutes from beginning to end. They nuke everything, all of Florida, the Northeast, major cities along the eastern seaboard. And then they nuke a few spots on the West Coast. And I believe that's because much of it has already been destroyed and there's not too much left there to not nuke. Los Angeles gets hit. Somewhere around there could be San Diego, I don't know. Probably San Diego was hit in the beginning. Rightfully, the enemy fears United States Marine Corps. They'd want to take out 29 Palms, San Diego Training Center, truck depots, storage depots. They'd want to hit that. So Los Angeles in this last attack, something near the Bay Area, and something up in the Northwest, maybe Seattle, something up around that way. And then a city somewhere off the Gulf, I expect it probably will be Houston, just because other people have seen that as well, but something in there. And that's where I saw approximately on the map. It looked like it could have been Houston. So the Air Force will be important, but there are things that the Air Force can do to improve her situation, to improve her durability, and to reduce the effectiveness of the enemy. The number one thing that every person must do is to pray. Years ago, when I started preaching online, sharing the visions that I receive, I said, Holy Spirit, what should I say at the end of my video? All these big channels, they all have some catchphrase at the close. I said, what should I say? The Holy Spirit gave me this, pray or be defeated. And that is my final word here today. For every Air Force personnel who will hear this message, and I ask you, if you're a Christian, spread this out. Share this message wherever you can send it. You must know God, my friend. You must pray. Prayer can turn the tide of a battle, I've seen that exact message in dreams and visions, something the Holy Spirit teaches, that if one man will stop firing his rifle and pray instead, his influence on the outcome of that battle is massively, exponentially increased. One bullet could miss, hit a rock, miss and hit a tree, fly off into the air somewhere and land a mile away from the battle, hit something. But prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, that does great damage. The devils are there trying to create confusion, trying to create death, pain, anger, mental consequences. The devils are trying to do all that stuff and more, worse. But pray, bind those things up. Pray for victory. I tell you, I prayed so many things that would happen to the Russian army. Let their logistics blow up inside Russian territory. That happened. Let their convoys get bogged down. I prayed that in the beginning. That happened. It's a prayer that the Holy Spirit told me to write down and post, and I did. And everything in that prayer happened. Missiles landing in fields, inert, don't explode. Landing in the open place, harming nobody. Prayed all those things. People have reported bullets passed through them and caused no damage. Just supernaturally protected. People in Lviv reported they saw missiles coming in the air and they just disappeared. Nothing became of them. Prayer is so powerful. People don't want to believe, but all these things are true. I've seen so many miraculous things in 30 years of walking with God. He had to drag me sometimes, let me tell you. As human beings, we don't want to believe. We don't want to submit. But he has taught me that he is faithful and that every word he gives is true. Every word he gives is true. You can put your faith in the Lord, my friends. And you're going to see that all these things I'm warning about, unless there's some massive repentance in the United States, some huge turning to God, throwing out all the Satanists who are ruling everything, putting God first, then you will see a change. But otherwise, all these things are coming. If people stay on the course we're on now, this is what's coming. And you will see these things. And remember my words, turn to God, repent of your sins, ask God to forgive you, and ask God to heal the land. This is God's promise, not mine. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will hear them and I will heal their land. That's God's promise. You want the land to be healed? Pray, my friends, or be defeated.